This is what the Gemara says. Now let's try to attempt, let's attempt to understand what is the Alter Rebbe's explanation here in this Gemara. This Gemara is not so simple. The Marsha in Chidushi Agadis on Yumehir asks a powerful question. L'chura davar tamua de nimtza chayti nisker, the Marsha says. This is absurd, it's ridiculous. Because the sinner enjoys a profit and a gain that a tzaddik never has. It's unfair. If someone never sinned, he only has mitzvah, so he has a specific amount of mitzvahs. If someone sinned and then he does tshuvah, he not only has mitzvahs, all his transgressions are also transformed into mitzvahs. So that means that as a result of his sinning, he gains much more than a human being who never sinned. It's unfair. How can you say that this dainish should become zachias? You're paying him for the fact that he sinned. You're giving him credit for the fact that he sinned. We understand that he can accept tshuva. But you make this dainish into zachias. It means that by sinning, he can gain something. So you know what the Marsha says? The Marsha explains the Gemara differently. He says that since this human being is doing tshuva out of love, so he performs complete tshuva. Since he performs complete tshuva, so he wants to compensate for all his transgressions. So therefore he increases his good deeds more than what is required for repentance over the sin. And this increase of good deeds, these are the zachiyas, the virtues we are referring to. And this is the meaning that b'makim shebali tshuvaim, in the place where Baal Tshuva stands, tzaddikim cannot stand, because the tzaddikim are not motivated to increase a whole extra dosage of good deeds because they don't have to compensate for anything. Versus the Baal Tshuva, because of his dainais, because of his terrible transgressions, he feels that he has to compensate the void and the devastation and so forth. So therefore he adds and he indulges himself in doing good deeds far more than the tzaddik would ever do, far more than what is even required for tshuva. That's what tshuva out of love is. And this is how he explains the pasuk in Yechezkel. V'asa tzedakah u'mishpat aleihem hu yichya. Aleihem hu yichya, he lives on the tzedakah and the mishpat, not on the averis. He receives life from the justice and the righteousness that he has performed and that he has increased in as a result of his tshuva. That is what he receives life from. But it's not that this dainis becomes achiz. This is what the Marsha says. In other words, according to the Marsha, the interpretation of the words, the meaning of the words dainis nasalik is achiz, is that the sins cause him to have more positive virtues, even more than a tzaddik. The sins themselves obviously remain sins. They remain negative behavioral patterns. They remain prohibitions, which are negative and are evil. You can't say that they themselves become a mitzvah, because then it's chayti niska. Certainly it's not a mitzvah, certainly it's negative, it's a loss. The sins are a loss, they're not a gain. Chayti is not niska. It's just, since he does tshuva, so this dainis might motivate him to do more mitzvahs, so he has more zachis. So his dainis, nasis like his zachis, we have to emphasize nasis like his zachis. Relative to him, this dainis create in his life more zachis, but his dainis themselves, the premeditated sins, remain sins. But, literally, when we learn the Gemara, we interpret it, dainis, nasis like his zachis, that the premeditated sins are actually deemed and termed as virtues. Rashi also says, when Rashi interprets the pasuk in Yechezkel, he says, "Aleihem hu yichya al kol ma sha'asav af al avedis." He derives life even from the avedis. So the Alter Rebbe interprets the Gemara literally, that tshuva out of avar abba, tshuva which is performed out of intense love, actually determines and transforms and metamorphosizes this dainis themselves, the sins themselves, the object of this dainis, the chafta of this dainis in yeshivish terminology, become mitzvahs. Parenthetically, the Alter Rebbe discusses here a tshuva me'av, a rabba, a unique tshuva, which is done out of intense love. Al tshuva me'av, a rabba zu, he says a special tshuva, as mentioned before, when we were learning something so profound with so much fervor and zealousness and passion and ecstasy and so forth. Because there's another contradiction here, because in Yumidaf Pevavu Med Aleph, The Gemara says that the difference between Shuvah of Ava and Shuvah of Yira is that Shuvah of Yira is like someone who was ill and became healthy, where usually there's a certain remnant, a certain remnant of the disease still affects him. That's Shuvah Meyira. Shuvah Meyava totally eradicates the sin. There is no blemish whatsoever that affects his life anymore. Yumadav Pivovan the Beza Ahmed later, it says much more that Shuva Meyavas Dainis Nasalikazachis. Not only don't they affect them anymore, they become like virtues. So apparently, this is what Alter Rebbe also explains, in choosing his words carefully, that in Shuva Meyava itself there are levels. There is a Shuva Meyava, which is a plain Shuva Meyava, Shuva done out of love. And then there is the tshuva from Ava Rabba, tshuva out of intense love, which is explained here in Tanya, and it's only then that this dainis becomes Zachis. But what is the explanation in this? How can you say that Zdainis becomes Zachias? It seems absurd. Chayti Nisker. The Zdainis themselves are negative. How can you say that they actually become virtuous? The Baal Tshuva did an Aveira. He did something negative. He did something which violated the divine will, and that's considered a mitzvah. It's considered that he did something positive. He did something holy. He did something sacred. He did something godly. Productive, purposeful. A transgression is essentially a form of abuse towards the soul. When a human being lies, cheats, deceives, steals, he's abusing his soul. He's harming his own spiritual identity and consciousness. When a human being doesn't allow himself to experience the Shabbos, he's doing something to his soul. It's just we are sometimes so disoriented and removed from our soul. We are only connected to our body, our bodies, that very often we define abuse only as something that affects our bodies, our physical, corporal realities, because we are not tuned in to the dynamics, to the energy, to the experiences of our soul. Abuse, there are other forms of abuse besides physical abuse. There is psychological abuse, emotional abuse, which is much more subtle. And therefore, sometimes it's much more difficult to realize and to recognize, to be aware of, because it works in a much more subtle way. And what's even more difficult to recognize and be aware of is spiritual abuse of the soul. But there is that type of abuse, because we do have a soul, and the soul is sensitive, and the soul has to be nourished. And by the Alter Rebbe, and this is one of his chief messages during the whole Sefer HaTanya, we have to know that the soul is as real as the body. It's a very real component and element of the human being's life. Tshuva, which means returning, is the unique, extraordinary ability God granted to the human being to bring healing to an abused soul. That is also the meaning Chassidus explains in Tshuva. Literally, Tshuva means returning. It means going back to the natural state of your life, returning to your own true self, restoring your life to what it was and what it really is, restoring your soul to its natural glory, harmony, perfection, and beauty. Living in an abused state of consciousness means alienation. Tshuva means going back to who you really are, going back to your own soul as it really is. In healing, there are generally speaking two levels. Generally speaking, two stages. One stage is where a human being liberates himself or herself from the abuse that has been inflicted upon this person's life. The abuse, the negativity, thus does not affect him anymore. He is liberated from it, he is freed from it, but nevertheless, the abuse still remains abuse. It's just that he or she were freed and liberated from it. This is not easy. It requires a lot of work. When a human being brings wreckage to his life, to his soul, on a spiritual level, an emotional level, a psychological level, or someone else brings it upon him or her, it affects us deeply. It becomes part of our identity, part of our experience, part of our outlook, part and parcel of our perspective. We behave based on it. There are so many symptoms it brings onto our life. It introduces various habits, patterns of behavior, responses, fears, and so on and so forth. So tshuva is a real gift, that the human being has a power of tshuva, of returning. What tshuva is on this level is where he raises his consciousness to a higher state. He elevates his soul, his mind, his heart to a deeper, higher level of consciousness. He connects himself with a deeper level of his soul, and through that he finds healing from the abuse that he experienced in his life or she experienced in her life. He connects to a deeper level of his own consciousness. He finds new levels of his own soul that he was disconnected of before, that he was disconnected earlier. And through this deeper perception, deeper emotions, deeper feelings, he liberates himself from the shackles, from the enslavement, from the imprison which he found himself in earlier as a result of this abuse. He defines himself in a new way. Unfortunately, this is something very relevant to today's day and age. This is a generation that, despite the fact that in many ways it is a very prosperous generation, as far as materialism goes, they are nevertheless living today thousands and millions of people, women and men, who suffered powerful abuse, physical abuse, emotional, psychological abuse and intimacy, as a result, as a consequence of the breakdown that happened in our generation as far as morality goes, as far as spirituality goes, as far as family life goes, and so forth. Many children have been abused. These children grow up, all of them suffer from it during the continuation of their life. Some people more, some people less. One person, as a result of the abuse, is incapable of loving. Another is incapable of trusting. A third is incapable of being vulnerable. Another one is incapable of saying the truth. Another one can't make commitments. Another one cannot find happiness, tranquility. Others suffer from insecurity, no self-confidence. The cause can be either intentional or unintentional abuse by parents, by educated, by relatives, by colleagues, by siblings. It can be a death in the family, God forbid. An illness in the family, pressure, fear, or so many other things that occur in life that affect our souls, affect our innocence, affect our identities. Sometimes we abuse ourselves. We live life of unhealthy addictions, of lies, lives devoid of morality, of purpose, and so forth. I have the unique privilege of coming in contact pretty often with people who have been abused, and then decided, they made a decision to embark on the path of recovery. These are the most amazing people I've ever met in my life. Their courage is so powerful. Their honesty, their integrity, their persistence is something so moving, so deep. It's indescribable. It is really the greatest testimony for the preciousness of the human soul. After a lot of work, usually several years, work that includes lots of grieving over an innocent childhood lost to abusive parents, grieving over a beautiful youth lost to diseases of addictions, temptations, codependency, etc., etc. Whatever the particular circumstance, whatever the particular circumstances are, the work includes grieving, which is, as we know, an integral element of tshuva. Through this, they reach some state of healing, where they become liberated from the scars and wounds that have afflicted their psyche and their consciousness. It's a process, and it's similar to tshuva meyira, or the lower level of tshuva meyav, tshuva out of awe, or the lower level of tshuva which is done out of love. Because what motivates usually this search for healing is yira, it's the inability to cope, or on a higher level, the desire to enter into a loving relationship which cannot be achieved without the healing. So as a result of work, again, that includes grieving and deep commitments and courage, prayer, spirituality, and so forth, the human being can redefine himself, can restructure himself, can redesign himself, can reach a higher level of consciousness, and achieve some level of healing and happiness and tranquility. But as we continue on the path of recovery, we come to discover a second level of healing, which is so much deeper and so much more powerful. In this stage, we not only liberate ourselves from the abuse, but we furthermore reach back in time and recreate the meaning and the significance of the abuse in our lives, where the negativity of our lives is transformed into positivity. When man has reached real healing, what occurs is that the devastation of a soul, the pain and the despair that he or she have experienced, grant him an extraordinarily unique ingredient, the ingredient of darkness which has been metamorphosized into light. How can you compare, for example, the love of a human being who grew up in a loving home and knew what love is from the day he was born, to a man who was incapable of love for 25, 30, 40 years of his life due to the abusive circumstances in which he brought up? When this latter person uncovers the waters of love that were buried for so many years in the depth of a soul, his love is characterized by such a powerful fervor, warmth, passion, fire, zealousness, and integrity, which the ordinary lover can never even conceive of achieving. The deep void in this human being's life, the tremendous pain and devastating frustration which he or she have experienced, grant, give their love a whole new dimension. When these people find real healing, there is something about their love which those that were fortunate enough never to be abused can never have, can never taste, can never experience. The void in this human being's life becomes the driving force which fuels this man's extraordinary love and passion. And when negativity is channeled into positivity, the positivity takes on a whole new energy and power. This is the unique lot of people who have experienced real pain in their life. Not everyone knows it. No one should know it. For kein Yidden gedacht, for kein Menschen gedacht, for no human being should experience real pain. But there is a special language. There is a special energy that this human being can experience that no one can. If they have the courage to seek healing, and it takes a lot of courage because there's a lot of garbage and a lot of luggage, they can reach a state of happiness and wholesomeness that the permanent, healthy person can never reach. And then one day, this human being may stand back, and as difficult as it may sound, may give thanks for the abuse and the pain. Not because they were a blessing. No, they were a curse. But because as a result of this person's real recovery, those very curses have now become retroactively a bearer of deep blessings. They have introduced a dimension into this human being's relationships, into this human being's relationship, into his love, into his vulnerability, into his happiness, into his honesty, that only the void, the negativity, the vacuum, the pain can contribute after it's channeled into a positive force. This is the concept of tshuva me'ahav rabba, which the Alter Rebbe describes here, where the soul of the returnee thirsts for Hashem even more intensely than the soul of the tzaddik. The Baal tshuva reached a state of total healing from his unhealthy past, where he not only returned to Hashem out of awe, or even out of a lower level of love, but he has reached a state of overflowing and overwhelming passion, affection, and fervor and longing towards spirituality and godliness. The Baal Tshuva has now essentially reached back in time to redefine the significance of his sins, of his transgressions, because it is only the spiritual devastations that his sins wreaked upon his soul that have created such an intense longing to reconnect with his divine source, to reconnect with his quintessential self. A longing which can never be experienced without the previous distance, pain, despair, and void in his life. Now, instead of distancing him from his Creator, the Baal Tshuva's past transgressions have the very opposite effect. They create a whole new type of closeness to Hashem. Their very negativity fueled a yearning for Hashem far more powerful than any that a human being might have experienced in a lifetime of unwavering righteousness. Here the Aveira becomes the facilitator of tshuva. Here the human being has revealed a new, deeper dimension to his transgressions, their potential to create a deeper bond between man and his God, a bond born out of the transformation of evil into good and of folly into achievement. It's the longing that is created as a result of him being in a parched desert, in a parched barren land, as the Alter Rebbe puts it, of experiencing the negativity and the darkness that fuels a whole new type of appreciation, a love, a bond, a truth that cannot be experienced without it. Only a human being who was disconnected, who did not have it, who struggled, can appreciate the healing and the love and the tshuva in the way the Baal Tshuva does.
This is regarding the person, right? How about the thing that the Averis were done with?
1 second. We'll get to that in a moment. One night, enjoy water. This is a famous metaphor given in Hasidic literature. One might enjoy water during his entire lifetime. He drinks water, he appreciates water, he's grateful for the nourishment that water provides him with. But then you have a man wandering in a parched and barren desert for several days without a drop of water to drink. His thirst for water is unimaginable. When he is given finally a glass of water, he will drink that water with such fervor, with such zealousness, fire and passion, that the man who always had the water can't even conceive of having such a love towards water. His being torn away from the water for so long grants him a whole new appreciation of the nourishment, a whole new appreciation of what life is. The void fuels a thirst which is inconceivable to the man who always had the water with which to refresh his soul. This is the uniqueness of the Baal Tshuva which the tzaddik can never attain. B'makim shebali tshuva indim ein tzaddikim gmurim yichaylum lamecha. Due to the past of the Baal Tshuva, to the dark past of the Baal Tshuva, he has the ability to experience a whole new type of relationship with spirituality, with godliness, with the truth of life, that the greatest tzaddik can never attain. Only the Baal Tshuva has the power to exploit the momentum of his deepest descents to propel him to the greatest of heights. The Baal Tshuva has the potential to channel the frustration and pain over his deficiencies to create a new depth in his relationship with his Creator and his commitment to life's purpose. A relationship which can never be experienced by the man whose path was always just and pure. So these are the various levels of tshuva. In the case of tshuva meyira, tshuva out of awe, man's premeditated sins are rendered as unwitting transgressions, which means that the transgressor's guilt and culpability are abrogated while the negativity of the deed remains. But in the case of tshuva meyava, tshuva out of intense love, his premeditated sins are rendered as merits. They are retroactively transformed into a positive force. Why? Says the Alter Rebbe, Hayil Val Yedei Zeh, because it is because of these transgressions that Baal La'ava Rabbezu, he reached this love. The transgressions now become an instrument of the love. They become allies with the love. They become partners in the relationship with Hashem. They are redefined from a negative phenomena to a positive phenomena. You know, in the Jewish tradition, we come in contact with water, with large assemblies of water, twice a year. One is Rosh Hashanah. We go for Tashlich. Tashlich is the tradition where Rosh Hashanah, we go to a large pool of water, a river, a lake, an ocean, a well, and so forth. And symbolically, we throw our sins into the rivers. Sashlich b'metzulei siyam kol chataisam. And then there is before Pesach. Before Pesach, we draw mayim shalanu. We draw large amounts of water to bake the matzah. Rosh Hashanah, we go to the water, we throw our sins into the water symbolically. Before Pesach, we draw the water. Tishrei is a time of tshuva meyira, tshuva which is done out of awe. In that tshuva, we take the abuse, we take the transgressions, we take the sins, we rid them from ourselves. We throw them away, we throw them into water. Nisan is tshuva meyava, is tshuva out of love. So Nisan, we come back to the water. We draw the water back to ourselves. We take back the sins. We redefine the abuse. This is the reason, says the Alter Rebbe, why in this case of tshuva, the nitzutzus, the holy sparks, the divinity that was embedded in the forbidden substances or relationships and so forth, ascend. Because there's no husk to prevent their reunification with their godly source. This act is not considered anymore transgression. It has been redefined as part of the divine will. The concept of klipa is the shell and the husk that represses, conceals, and obscures the divine will. An act which is antithetical to the divine will can never be an act which realizes the inner divine identity of everything, because on the contrary, we just did an act that is antithetical to divinity and spirituality. But in this case, the act has been a permitted act. It has become a zachius. It has become part and parcel of the fulfillment of the divine will. So the divine identity of the object, the divine identity of the act, has been revealed. There's no clip anymore. The tshuva of Ahava Rabba redefines, and this is a response to your question, it redefines the act. And since the act was done with this object, for example, let's say he ate a forbidden food, that act which became zachis was done with this forbidden food, which the fact that it was forbidden food, the fact that it was klipas atmeis, that is what fueled this type of love. So the inner identity of Shalom Shupas Atmeis ascends. Are you asking the Shalom Shupas Atmeis? Here, the very fact that it was Shalom Shupas Atmeis has created a new type of relationship with Hashem because of its opaqueness, because of its darkness, because of its abusiveness. He ate something forbidden. This is a forbidden substance which covers up ungodliness. Because of the cover-up, because of the pain, because of the negativity, he has now a new type of relationship. So it's interesting that in a paradoxical way, the negativity allows the divine identity to come out in its full intensity and might after the tshuva retroactively. Yes? Oh, that's what you asked before. Okay, this is a very good question. You're saying Hechsher mitzvah is not the mitzvah. He's asking, some mitzvahs require previous preparations. It's called Hechsher mitzvah. The things you have to get done which allow you to perform the mitzvah. If someone wants to wear tefillin, there are you can't just put on tefillin. There are issues that have to be done before. You have to remove the hide from the animal and so on and so forth. Rework it and so on and so forth. If you want to circumcise a Jewish child, you have to have a knife. In order to have a knife, you have to, certain requirements are needed in order to craft, to mold and to make the knife, and so forth. You have to find metal. Well, today we buy it in a store, but essentially, you have to dig and you have to find metal. And from that metal or wood or whatever it is, you produce a knife. You create a knife. Hechsher mitzvah usually does not have the same, it does not in halach have the same status like a mitzvah. So you're asking, true, this dainez, the negativity, produced a new type of love. So they were hechsher mitzvah. Why do they become like the mitzvah? Even if the very darkness of a sin created and allowed him to have this love, they were the catalyst, they laid the foreground, they were the preface, they were the introduction, but why do they themselves become a mitzvah? That's a very good question. But the point here is that they're not only a hechsher to the Avraba. They are part of the Avraba. Part of the love experience is the void and the pain and the darkness. They become part of the mitzvah. They become part of the love. Their negativity, their distancing element, their dark element becomes part of the love experience. And therein lies its power. Their energy, their void becomes now a part of the positivity, and therefore there's a whole new dimension to it. So therefore the Zdainas themselves become part of the Zachis. And this is the uniqueness of the Baal Tshuva, of the Tshuva Me'av Rab, notwithstanding that he comes in contact with elements that are Shalish Klippas Atmeis, which means he comes in contact with things that cover up the true identity of the world, and he lives a life which is inconsistent with his own soul. He lives a life which is consistent with his own klipa, with his own shell. He uses things that are from Shalosh Klipas Hatmeis. He does acts which are connected to Shalosh Klipas Hatmeis, which are apparently and really the most distancing elements. They distance him totally from his own soul, from his own spirituality, from his own godliness, from his own happiness, from his own wholesomeness. Nevertheless, when this human being returns, all the elements of his life that have been involved in the realization of Shalosh Klipas Hatmeis in his life, the objects he used and the acts he performed, and so on and so forth, all these elements are now redefined, their very klipa dynamic, due to their darkness. They now create a whole new relationship with Hashem, and therefore their inner divine identity and energy is realized and sublimated and re-included with the essence of life, the essence of the world, the essence of the universe, the essence of the human being, which is godliness, holiness, beauty, and spirituality. Yes. It's a good question. You're asking that Alter Rebbe brings here that b'makim k'ma'amarim zal b'makim shebali tshuva aimdim chuli. So I said that my makim was from brachas daf lamedalad amid beis. Well, you looked it up. So over there there's a machlekes. You're saying there's a machlekes of Rebbe Yechon and Rebbe Avohu. Why does the Alter Rebbe choose the shita of Rev Abahu? Rev Abahu says taka that makim shabali tshuva imdin tzadikim gemurim einem imdin. But Rabbi Yochanan argues with him. So the truth is, it's a good question. The shalah. The shalah Rabbi Shaya Horowitz in his monumental work of Jewish spirituality and ethics, Shnei Luchis Habris, in the introduction to Chelek Bayis Gadol, says that it's not an argument because they are addressing two types of Baal Tshuva. A Baal Tshuva does Tshuva out of Yira, the Tzadik Gomor is greater than him. The Baal Tshuva does Tshuva out of Ahava, he is greater than the Tzadik Gomor. And here in Tanya, he's addressing the Tshuva, the Baal Tshuva does it out of Ahava and out of Avarab. Have a good day and a wonderful week.
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya each Sunday morning at Heichal Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or to receive the tapes weekly by mail, please call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076.